David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify.
Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see the way. Every promise he's ever made me, I love him, and that's all I want to say.
How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done.
Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can't see the way.
I'm thankful he saved me, brought me out of a world of sin, and I don't have a sad story, preacher. I wasn't a drunk. I wasn't a drug head, but I was still just as lost. And I tell you what, I'm thankful I had good parents, brought me to church, but I still needed to be saved. And money, he saved me, and I thank God for it. I appreciate him.
Oh, to be there when the Savior spoke the great command, and to witness in a wonder of his wonder making hand.
No miracle has caught my eyes to cause my heart to see. But by faith I now can realize there's a miracle in me. And I have never seen the thousands fed or the blind made to see. And I have never watched him raise the dead, but I know when he lifted me. And there's a wonder right before my eyes, close enough to see. And in my heart is where this wonder lies. There's a miracle in.
The
but I know when he lifted me. And there's a wonder right before my eyes, close enough to see. And in my heart is where this wonder lies. There's a miracle in me.
There were two crows before me, an old man I knew. And I could have either, so what must I do? One coat was ugly and terribly torn. The other, a new one, had never been worn. And I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. The old coat was earthly and not fit to wear. And I thought of it often and I shed me a tear. Then there was a clean one, so pleasant to view. And I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. And I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Now this coat, it fits me and it keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter and it's good in the storm. My Savior has dressed me in garments so red, and he fills me with glory, his image I'll bear. And I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on.
Thought these old fall allergies about got my voice, preacher, but sorry to tell you, but I'm singing for Jesus. So if I mess up and if it goes out, it just goes out. Someone else can take it off or take off with it. There's a light in the window, a table spread a splendor. Someone standing by the
see the bright light shine.
It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door.
This world's been a wilderness,
and I'm ready for deliverance. And Lord, I've never been this homesick.
I can see the family gathered, sweet faces, they're all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying, think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
And see the bright
light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door.
This world's been a
wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. And Lord, I've never been this homesick before. And Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Many a time in those services.
your heart.
We walked into my aunt's house, and my uncle was Bruce Fisher. We walked into their house, and for whatever reason, I guess you could play a tape through those singing Christmas trees. And he had you singing, "You've Been My Life for So Long," playing through that Christmas tree. And it is one of my most favorite memories of him,
yes,
is you singing that song. But that is truly a song that has got us through so many trials and so many different parts of our life, because he has been my life for so long. And he is the only reason that I can keep on going in any circumstance.
Amen.
Me too.
That you have been such a blessing.
Thank you. Bless your heart.
I call this song my testimony song. I've probably been singing it about 25 years, but it's still not old. You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make it what you'd have me be. To me, I borrowed treasures, I borrowed dreams, all of life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to see me through. So come what may, thy will be done. I'll love you, Jesus, my only one. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. And you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
He's here. He's in this sanctuary tonight, and he's honored us with his presence. We need to pray for a lot of sickness in our community. We have several folks in the nursing home. Charlie has a brother there that Donnie said he went to see him today and left him with tears. Bob is there at the nursing home, and I have some friends from Community Chapel that he's fighting cancer. We have a lot to pray about. We have a lot to pray. Anybody have a spoken or unspoken request? Let me see. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads? We're so thankful to have every one of you tonight. We really are. We appreciate you. We appreciate every one of you. I'm going to ask Brother Greg Good, if you would, to stand, please, and pray for these requests, uplifted hands, and for those in hospitals and nursing homes. Greg? Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless his heart.
And you go out that door with us into the world that's turning so far away from you. We need your help.
Yes.
We need you to come in and heal.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
Heal our world.
Amen.
Bless Amen. It's strong.
Amen.
Persecuted each and every day. Lord.
Amen.
That would happen. We just need to take a stand and stand for you.
Praise the Lord.
Prayers, whether or not the answer we get, we want, but it's what you have for us. And you'll see us through it no matter what.
Amen.
Thank you. We praise you.
Amen.
In Christ's name we ask.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. There's power in prayer. There's strength in prayer. Oh, there's anointing in prayer. I thought as I was sitting there, now, these folks can correct me if I'm wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I was preaching revival at Tupper's Creek for Brother Lake. And he said, I'm going to change the order of things. Never been in that before. And I thought to myself, what's he going to do? He said, preacher, come on. It's time for you to preach. And they were there to sing. And I thought, I didn't say nothing. I thought, well, what about the singers? I just went on and preached. When I got through, then he called them up, and we had a hallelujah time. Sometimes it's good to just fool the enemy. We don't fool him, but yeah, we just tricked him. We just tricked him. It's good to have every one of you. Chris, lead us in a song. Shake hands one with another. Stand up and stretch yourself as we get ready for the word.
Turn to page 75 in your hymnal. 75.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
55. You still shake hands.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Tell me, let's do that. Yeah, it just came to my mind, we need to do it. So, someone said, preacher, that's just too noisy. Well, you tell the Lord that when he said in his word, everybody that have breath, there it is. We've went to several nights, and she's been with him every night, and I think in the revival that we had before with him, she was with him every night. And it's good to have his wife. A lot of times, wives are not introduced, you know. Now, when they refer my children or, you know, Rosalie, they'll say, oh, that's Al's wife. Yeah, it's good to have Mrs. Hunter with us. If you'd like to give us a little bit of a testimony, I'd appreciate it. Bless you.
Bless you.
Amen.
I have wanted happiness in my life so badly that I've been looking everywhere.
Yeah.
And after he saved me, he gave me this man.
Amen.
And what a wonderful, wonderful life we had because we served the Lord.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
He's been the center of our heart.
Yeah. Amen.
42 years, and I thank you for that. He's given us two wonderful girls, both of them saved, and we have four lovely grandchildren. The oldest one's 9, he's saved. I just can't thank the Lord enough.
Right. Right.
And in the life of my family, I have parents waiting for me in heaven. I have given.
Amen.
And I think sometimes what a joyous time that's going to be when I see them again.
Right.
But I have a joyous time right
now. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Something comes in our life.
Yes. Yes.
But in the middle of the night, when Kermit's not awake, he's there.
Amen.
I can talk to him when nobody's around.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to hear from her. Amen. Amen. You ready for the word? Amen. Some of you may not know our evangelist. He's coming from Raynell, and we appreciate him. We appreciate him. We thank the Lord for the messages that we've heard already from him. And we're expecting to hear greater things because the Lord's using him. Now, the more you pray for him, the better that he can preach. Lift him up and just ask the Lord to touch his lips, touch his mind, touch his heart. As he comes, Brother Kermit Hunter is our evangelist. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you.
Bless you. God bless you, Pastor.
Bless you.
Bless you. Good evening. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We're thankful for each one that's here. And my, what a blessing that it's been every night in the singing. And certainly tonight was no exception. If you wasn't blessed tonight, your blesser is broke and you're in the right place to get it fixed. But it's been good. I tell you, I have enjoyed the singing, the wonderful spirit that's in the singing, the songs. They've blessed us. They've lifted us up. It's like getting your dessert before the meal. Isn't it good? I've been blessed every night in the testimonies. I love testimonies. You know, God's good to us. God does so much for us. We never really thank him for what he's done for us. God, you watched over me today. You give me health and strength to walk through those doors tonight. You gave me a desire to be in the house of the Lord. You know, if you've visited some of the homes where the elderly are, you'll run across so many dear, sweet Christians that their one desire is, oh, I wish I could go to church. I wish I could get out and go to the house of God. Sometimes we take it for granted, but God's so good to us. And I'm thankful for the praise that we give him. May God bless you. Pray for us as we look into the scriptures. It's found in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, if you'd like to look, read along with us tonight. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. We'd like to begin reading at verse 1. Shall we stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God? Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the wall of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down under the water, and I will try them, for there try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And the whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go away, every man unto his own place. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father and Almighty God, as we come again before thy throne of grace this evening hour, but, oh God, we come to thee with grateful and thankful hearts. We thank thee, oh God, for the wonderful privilege of gathering together in thy house this evening hour. But, oh God, may we lift your name above every name that's named. Our Heavenly Father, may we praise you, oh God, this evening hour. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful singing that we've heard, for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for each home, each family that's represented here. Now, our Heavenly Father, for this wonderful pastor and his wife, we pray thy blessings upon them. But, oh, God, undergird them with thy strength. Watch over them and care for them. And may many souls be won into the kingdom of heaven through the ministry that thou hast placed him in. Now, our Heavenly Father, tonight we pray, oh, God, that thou would have thy way and thy will in every heart and every life. Thou knowest the needs of the hour. Help us, oh, God, to be obedient unto thee. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for hearing and answering prayers. Forgive us of our sins, our weaknesses, our failures before thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake, these things we humbly ask, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, as we look for a few moments here in the book of Judges, we find in Gideon, and you can go through the book of Judges, and I believe this is a wonderful book of the Bible, and we see the hand of God, how that he works with men corporately, as a nation, also personally as individuals. And we find here, beloved, the old story of sin, beloved, has been around for a long time. It has defeated many people and many nations. We see a nation today in which we live that one time honored the name of God, but we live in a nation today that doesn't know God. And beloved, we don't honor God as we ought to. And beloved, we're not raising our children in the house of God. Beloved, we've gotten away from God, much like the children of Israel. In chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." 7 years. This generation today, I believe, understands these people, these Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the East more probably than generations past, beloved, because we've been exposed to ISIS. We've been exposed to the cults. We've been exposed to those people, beloved, over in the Middle East here that perform such heinous things upon people, beloved. It's almost unexplainable. But beloved, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children from the east, beloved, they were the same type of people, the forefathers of those today that are beheading people, those today that are murdering and robbing and mass killings, everything imaginable, beloved. They're doing that. They've done the same thing in the day of Israel, beloved. And you can imagine the life that Israel was suffering right now. They had run them out of their homes. They were living in the mountains. They were living in caves. They had nothing. They took their animals. They took their crops. They destroyed everything in them. And when the Midianites and this great crowd of ungodly and wicked nation, beloved, as they move, the Bible describes them as grasshoppers. They move as locusts. They come as a plague. They don't march like an army marches. They bring their families. They bring their tents. They bring their possessions. And they just ramble across the landscape, and everything that's in their path, beloved, they destroy it completely, and they carry everything off, and they slaughter and they murder everyone that's before them. Beloved, what a time that it is for the children of Israel. Beloved, we need to recognize the hand of God on America today that has given us the freedom that we have enjoyed, the freedom, beloved, that we have to come to the house of God, the freedom that we have, beloved, to live in a nation that God has blessed, beloved. We've taken it for granted, and beloved, God can withdraw that at any time. I don't care. We do have a wonderful and a marvelous armed forces, beloved, the greatest in the world. But, beloved, without God, they can't move and they can't do anything, beloved. And God will not give the victory. I'd like to spend some time, but you can look back down through the history of America and you can find where God has blessed this great nation time and time and time again, beloved. He's lifted us out of the battles that we fought. Beloved, he's given
given us victory, and he's blessed us materially, beloved. I believe above any nation that's ever existed on the face of the earth, beloved, we find that God has blessed America. But, beloved, we've gotten away from God. And I'm glad tonight that I know God as my own personal Savior. Brother, I know where I'm going. This whole world might be going down, but I'm going up, beloved. Why? Because of the promises of God. And so we find here that the children of Israel cried out to God. And I believe that it was a pre-incarnate Christ that came down and spoke to Gideon. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite and his son Gideon and thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. You don't thrash wheat at the winepress. The wine press is at the bottom of the mountain. You thrash wheat up on the mountaintop, on the top of the hill, the highest hill, where the wind hits it when you throw the grain up in the air. And beloved, the wind catches the chaff and it blows it away. Gideon was down in the bottom of that valley, and he would throw that wheat up in the air. The chaff and the wheat would come back down on top of him. But he was afraid to go to the top of the hill. And here's when the Lord intervened with Gideon. And he called Gideon a man of valor. And Gideon didn't know who he was talking to. And beloved, the thing that we can see here is that God uses people, beloved, not because they're some superhuman individual. Did you know that every judge that God raised up to deliver Israel, beloved, God raised up somebody, beloved, that was weak, somebody that didn't realize that they could do anything. Somebody, I hear many people say, I don't have a talent. I don't know what I can do for the Lord. Brother, you make yourself available, and God will bless you. And God will use you, beloved. And so we find that has been God's way down through the ages. We step up 1,200 years later, and we find the Apostle Paul, beloved, as he writes in the book of Corinthians, and he tells us in chapter 1 of the book of Corinthians, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory before God." Aren't you glad tonight, beloved, that God can use you? Gideon didn't think that God could do anything with him. Beloved, he said he was poor. He didn't have a weapon. They didn't have a weapon anywhere. The Midianites, beloved, numbered well over 100,000. They numbered well over, can you imagine an ISIS army with over 100,000 soldiers on our soil today in America? Can you imagine, beloved, that ungodly and wicked outfit turned loose in our nation, beloved, and we stood before them helpless, without a weapon in our hand, no way to defend ourselves, and the only thing that we could do was run for the hills and hide from them. Beloved, the devil would like to destroy us, the children of God, beloved, and the children of Israel. He's done everything that he can to wipe them off the face of the earth. But beloved, if we have God on our side, we've got the majority. We've got the majority. And I believe that God chose one of the weakest men in that region, beloved. He chose Gideon. And beloved, he chose Gideon here because he was weak, not because he was a superman, not because he was able to do mighty things. I don't believe that Samson was a muscular hunk of a man. I don't believe that when you saw Samson, I don't believe you'd see a man that had huge muscles, biceps. I don't believe that you would see a man that was mighty, that could lift great weights. Beloved, I don't believe that he was a man like that at all. I believe he was an ordinary individual. You know what made him strong? The Spirit of God came upon him. And beloved, he could pick up a gate with his post, put it on his shoulder, and carry it for 6 miles. Beloved, because the Spirit of God was upon him. Beloved, God can do that. God can use us. God can use every Christian. And beloved, we find here, getting was afraid. I'd be afraid if I was going to be charged with attacking a 100,000 plus army that was armed to the teeth, had every weapon that was known to man, beloved, a wicked people, beloved, and I stood there unarmed, I would be afraid also. I would be more afraid when 23,000 of them turned and went back home. I would be more afraid than out of that 10,000 that there was only 300 left. What would you do? You knew how many soldiers of the enemy was just across the hill. They had so many camels they couldn't count them. There as the grains of sand on the seashore, they numbered into thousands, beloved. No doubt they probably had two or three camels per person, per soldier, beloved. Thousands upon thousands of camels and soldiers, beloved, with every type of armament and weapon, experienced soldiers. And here was Israel with not a sword between them, not a piece of armor. And, beloved, now their army is down to 300 people. But God gave them something to win this battle with, that he gives you and I today. 3,200 years later, you and I are fighting the same devil. In fact, our nation's fighting the same people. The same people today. And they had the same wicked goal in their mind as they did then, is to destroy us. And beloved, without the power of God, they probably would do that. They would probably do that. But beloved, we find here that God gave them something. And when you find that Gideon, when he got his 300 together, there was three things that God gave them. He said he put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitcher and lamps within the pitchers. Beloved, how would that cause us and how would that help us to win the battle, beloved? We find here as they carried these lamps and these earthen vessels, beloved, and they trumpet in their right hand, beloved, that's what we have today, beloved, we have the light of Jesus Christ within us, beloved, we are the earthen vessels, and we carry the light of God, and beloved, we find here, notice what it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be in us and not of us. We find, beloved, that God has given us that light in earthen vessels. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Do you know what scares the devil? It's the light of the Word of God, beloved. When he hears the Word of God, he begins to back up. Brother, he can't fight the Word of God. And, beloved, also, he said, you've got a trumpet. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it tells us, and if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare for the battle? Beloved, it takes the preaching of the truth of the Word of God, beloved, that people understand who God is and where we stand before God, and beloved, and believing that God can. Although we don't want to give the world an uncertain sound today, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our leader, beloved. He's the one that'll give us the victory, beloved. And I believe today that if we sound the trumpet as God has called us and saved us to do, beloved, I believe that we'll have the victory. Amen. Jesus said, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe when he said that, he said, anything moves, you preach at him. Anything that moves, you preach. You tell them the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother, the devil can't do anything with that. Beloved, the only thing that he can do is run and hide. And beloved, when they came out on that hill and they broke their earthen vessels and the light began to shine, 300 men with a lantern in their hand and a trumpet in their right hand. And I believe that that Gideon said, sound the trumpet. I don't believe that they all played their own tune. I believe it was a battle call. It was a time to charge. You know those old Western movies, when the Indians seem to be winning, and suddenly you hear the trumpet sound, and beloved, the cavalry is charging, the cavalry is coming. And I believe when he blew that trumpet, they knew what they were blowing. They knew that was the sound that the armies moved by. That was the sound that the armies went into battle by. Beloved, it stirred their hearts. It scared them. They jumped out of their beds. They grabbed their swords, and they began to whack each other. They would cry the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they'd blow that trumpet and they'd wave those lanterns. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, when they looked up in the mountains and saw those lights and they heard those trumpets, they were sure that Israel was marching upon them. And they'd holler at the top of their lungs, the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. The thing was, they didn't have a sword, but brother, they had God. And beloved, when they blew that, those trumpets blew with power, beloved, and it shook the Amalekites to the bone. They jumped out of bed in a dead sleep and thought the enemy was upon them. And every time somebody moved, somebody slashed at them. And they fought each other and they killed each other. And Gideon, his 300, kept blowing the trumpets. And they kept swinging the lanterns and they kept shouting, the sword of the Lord. And Gideon, and beloved, as they came down off of that mountain, the Amalekites, beloved, they cut and they slashed and they killed each other. And they began to run. Do you know how many were dead when it was all said and done? 120,000 of the enemy. 120,000 of the enemy. These 300 soldiers of the Lord did not have a sword between them. They had three things, beloved. They had the light, and they had the trumpet, and they had the Lord, beloved. We have that today, and we can have victory today if we'll look to God, beloved. God will give us the victory just as he did then. I can remember a time in my life when people were afraid, nations were afraid of America. They didn't want to stir America up. When you went abroad, you were treated with respect. Some of you can remember so many years ago when you traveled. You could go into countries and they respected you. They respected you. I can remember a time back in the early 60s. I went to Greece. And at that time I had a short haircut and my hair was blonde, kind of bleached out by the sun. There's three of us traveling through Greece. It hadn't been too many years since World War II had closed. We stopped at a place way out in the country. We walked into a place plumb full. Plumb full, the jukebox was blaring, people were laughing. When I walked in there, somebody pulled a plug on the jukebox. Got quiet. Nobody said a word. I didn't know what was going on. I sort of walked on toward the front of the building, looking around. Everybody was standing there looking at me. And they, after a few minutes, one of them stepped up and said, is it a Deutschlander? Well, he was asking, was you German? Are you German? I said, no, Amerikanisch. I'm an American. Well, when they heard that, they grabbed me in a big old bear hug, started slapping me on the back. The music came back on. People were celebrating. We were Americans. They were happy to see us. They were happy that we were there, beloved. One time America commanded that type of respect, but today, beloved, they look down upon us. Beloved, why? Because we've gotten away from God. And beloved, we need to get back and let God be our leader. Let him be the captain of the host. Let him give us victory, beloved. And if we'll turn to God, God will take care of our needs. Gideon was helpless as a person. You remember the fleece? I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. I'm sure Brother Al, when God called him to preach, probably throwed some fleeces out. I can remember when God called me to preach. I was asking my wife, how long have I been preaching? I was 34 years, something like that. 34 years. And I can remember when God was dealing with me to preach, I thought, Lord, I will do anything that you want me to do except preach. I'll do anything you want me to do but preach. So I can't preach. Not only can I not preach, but I can't get up in front of people and say anything. I never could do that. It's just not in me. I'm not a conversationalist. I don't talk. That's the reason he gave me my wife. Don't get her and Steve together. Try to keep them separated. But I couldn't. And I really doubted the calling of the Lord. I said, that can't be. That can't be. Brother, I was getting from top to bottom. I knew that I'd heard wrong. But you know, I couldn't get away from it, Brother Al. Couldn't get away from it, could you? God called you. And he kept calling. And one day I humbled myself before God. I said, Lord, I'll try it. I said, as long as you open the doors, by your grace, I'll step through them. And when you want me to stop, you just close the door. 34 years, God's never failed me. God's never failed me. Never failed me. I failed him, but he's never failed me. He didn't fail Gideon. Gideon had an impossible job before him. And the way our nation looks today, we've got an impossible job. But I'm glad that we serve a God that does the impossible. God's able to do the impossible. And beloved, if we'll commit ourselves and submit ourselves unto God, God will give us the victory. I believe that God can turn us around. I believe that he can raise us up. I believe he can make us the nation that we once were. Now I'm telling you, I'm looking for the rapture. I'm not a day setter. It may be tomorrow. But if he gives us a day, 24 hours, we ought to use that 24 hours, beloved, to help turn this nation around, to see souls saved and God honored and glorified in our midst. However long God gives us the time and the health and the opportunity to do that, we need to be doing that. Yes, I know. I believe the rapture's near. I believe it's close. But it may be another 50 years. I want to see my loved ones saved. I'd like to see my nation turn back to God. I'd like to hear a president step up to the microphone for the State of the Union address and say, would you bow your heads? I want to talk to God for a minute. And ask God for his wisdom and his leadership upon our nation. God, would you help us to do the right thing? God, would you bless our nation? Would you bless our people? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, the devil's told people that are Christians for so long that politics and religion does not mix, that we actually came to the place where we believed it. We believed it. You just can't mix politics and religion. When Christians pull back, who's left? Well, we got them sitting in office. We've got them sitting in office. I'd like to see some dedicated children of God step up and say, I want to be the president of the United States. I want to serve God, and I want to serve my nation. Wouldn't it be refreshing to have some people that do that, does that? And the ACLU, beloved, they can jump in the river. The ungodly crowd, brother, they can just stick their head in the sand. If they don't like to hear anything about God, they need to go somewhere and hide. God called them fools, and we're listening to them. We're letting fools run our society and our nation, beloved. We're giving them everything. One of those people can jump up and holler, and they'll shut down a whole school. They shut down prayer in school. Remember that football team that prayed for I don't know how many years before every football game. One atheist opens their mouth, and beloved, the next thing you know, they can't pray. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not America. Brother, we were founded on godly principles. And we need to get back to those godly principles. And God can give us the victory. Beloved, we can be like Gideon. We might have some doubts. But brother, let's not doubt God. We might doubt ourselves. But beloved, you recognize that God can give us the victory. And God can use every person in this building tonight for his honor and for his glory, beloved. I believe that we can have revival. I believe we can have our nation back. Let's mind God. Let's mind God. He told Gideon, I'm going to give you the victory. I like that when he said, you got too many. But I thought, if I was standing in Gideon's shoes, and I knew there was almost 200,000 devil's crowd over there armed to the teeth, and 32,000 people showed up without a switchblade knife in their pocket, without anything. They showed up and were going to fight them. And then God would say, you got too many. You know, God just doesn't do things the way we'd do it. Right. If we were in charge, we'd be hunting all over the world for an army that would come and give us some help. We'd be writing letters, making phone calls. We'd be sending out emissaries. We'd be doing everything that we could to gather up an army and come back and fight. God said, you got too many. And he said, you got too many again. From 32,000 to 300, God said, that's just right. He said, that's just right. Don't look right to me. But if God says it's right, brother, it's right. It's right. And God said, I'll give you the victory. God's going to give us the victory. And he's already told us that we're victorious in Christ. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall ever live. Brother, that ought to be our banner. That ought to be our cry, beloved. That ought to be our praise. That ought to be our song as we step out into battle. He's given us the whole armor of God, beloved, that we can fight the good fight of faith. If there wasn't a battle, he'd never given us any armor. We need armor, but we need God worse. That armor, if you really study it, you'll find that every piece of that army is none other than Jesus Christ. When you put on Christ, he's your helmet of salvation. He's your breastplate of righteousness. He's your sword. He's your shield. He's the very feet shod with the peace of God. Everything that God supplied is Christ. Everything that we need is Christ. We need to put him on. Gideon had a battle. I love to read Judges. It always blesses my heart. Blesses my heart. Gideon is probably one of my favorites. I just put myself in his shoes. Say, what would I do? How would I feel if I was standing there? How would I feel if I was standing there? But brother, after they run them off, God gave them the victory. They had food. They had their homes back. They had their families back. They had their farms back. They had their cities back. The ones that the enemy hadn't killed and slaughtered. We don't want that crowd on our soil. We don't want that crowd on our soil. God help us, protect us. God build that hedge up again. Build that hedge up again. Don't let them in. And give us godly leadership.
ought to be the prayer of every Christian. And I believe that every child of God ought to use the power of vote. You vote the Bible. You vote by the word of God. You go, you say there's nobody out there like that. Let's just keep sorting them out till we find one. We get them in. Next time it's get them out, put somebody else in. They're not the right ones, get them out the next time, put somebody else in. We'll come along, we'll come across the right one.
Amen.
Let's do that. If the Christians would get together, if the Christians would get together and do what God's will is in their life, we wouldn't be in the trouble we're in today. But God help us in this revival. Brother, if you haven't been blessed, you better keep coming. You need to keep coming. I've been blessed every night. Wonderful singing, testimonies, good fellowship, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God has been good to us. And he's going to be better to us if we let him. Maybe everybody here tonight's saved and a Christian. And I hope you can say, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. I hope you can say that tonight. But if you can, before you leave this building, you'll be able to say that. If you'll trust God, just take him at his word. Gideon took him at his word. He went right on up on that hill. He carried that lantern in a bucket. He had a trumpet in his right hand. He had nothing else. And he was going against almost 200,000 heavily armed, wicked troops. But he went. He went. He trusted God. He trusted God. He did what God had told him to do. God took care of the rest of it, but he had a part. I'm glad for the part that God gives us. I'm glad for the part that God gives us. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God loves you and we love you. It's easy to be saved. If you recognize that you're a sinner, that you're lost tonight, and that you're undone, and if death catches you where you are right now, you go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. You don't want to do that. God loves you. He didn't create hell for you. He created for the devil and his fallen angels, the beast and the false prophet. He created that place for them. If you go there, you'll go as an intruder. You'll go over top of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ that's blocking your way. And it's a free gift, freely given to whosoever will. Why don't you come tonight if you're not saved? Let us stand. Let us stand.
Page 111. 111.
As God speaks to your heart right now, Christian. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you're kind of like Gideon.
Oh, so
what can I do for the Lord? I don't have a great talent. How can God use me? Why don't you come tonight and let God use you?
No,
oh, God, I'm available. God, I'm here. I want you to use me.
You see,
I need victory in my family. I need victory in my home. I need victory in our church. We need victory over the devil. Why don't we come tonight and let God give us the victory? Why don't we come tonight and turn these problems over to God? He knows about them. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through tonight.
Turn your eyes.
And my wife said, I'll go with you even unto the end of the way. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll not leave us nor forsake us. No matter what valley you're going through right now, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. God cares about you tonight. God cares about you tonight. Maybe there's a name on your heart. Maybe there's someone heavy on your heart tonight that you know that needs to be saved. They don't know Christ as their own personal Savior. Why don't you bring their name to the throne of God's grace and say, oh, God, send somebody. Lord, if you don't have anybody else, would you send me? Send me help. That they might come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. As God speaks to your heart tonight, you mind God. Don't leave this building unless you've done what you know that God wants you to do tonight. Don't go home until you know you've done what God wants you to do.
come.
You come.
To tell.
You come.
Turn.
Coming. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. There's a precious soul in your heart right now. You've got a burden for somebody. Why don't you bring that burden to the Lord tonight? He's our great burden bearer. He can bear our burdens. He can bear our burden. Jesus said, my burden is light. Why don't you come? Why don't you come this evening?
In the light of His glory and grace.
Pastor.
I tell you what, we need to turn back to God.
Amen.
We've given the enemy too much ground.
Amen.
We need to reclaim America. Gold Town needs to reclaim Jesus Christ. We need to be alive. Yeah, we're supposed to be the head, not the toe. Folks, we need Jesus.
Amen.
I wish the place would have been packed. I wish we had outside speakers so they could hear. I think the time's going to come that they're going to try to close us down. They're already trying it in Houston. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he said, preacher, what are we going to do? I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep on trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house.
Yeah.
Folks, it's time that America wake up. I mean, wake up. I've got a book on the history of some of our presidents. And I'm telling you, it tells me a lot of things that I didn't know. How much they trusted the Lord. No wonder America was considered the greatest country. And honored and exalted. You see, we've given in too much ground. Yeah. Yeah. So, preacher, we have a lot of people in the political world that don't want to hear us. They're passing laws. Yeah. That's the truth. But we got a God that can change everything. I mean, He can change everything. Yeah. He did it with Moses. He stopped the water. Yeah. You heard what he said. Hey, boys. He hasn't changed anything.
That's right.
He's saying yesterday, today, and forever. And when America, when families, when homes, when children, when fathers get serious with God, we're going to see a change. We've just about given in. And you know what they tell me? There's nothing we can do about it. When God's still standing with arms wide open, He'll bless you. We're going to sing again. I don't know your heart. I don't know your need. But I'll tell you, that was a powerful message. Oh, you say, preacher, I hear this a lot. Preacher, the church is in the minority. Now we're God. The Lord on your side.
My soul like an infinite calm. wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I in fathomless billows of love.
Bless his name. It wasn't too long ago that I heard these kind of messages. People wouldn't walk, they'd run to an altar. They'd cry out. They pleaded with him. You know what? We've gotten so hard-hearted. Seemingly, the power of God has left our churches. We need to get back to it. I appreciate the message. I mean that. I appreciate it from my heart. I need that. I need to be reminded what a great nation we were. I made a statement. And I said, if they don't like your country, send them to Cuba. Send them someplace else. I got in trouble with people over that. It don't matter. It don't matter. When America blesses God again, God will bless America.
Amen.
I appreciate the message. I really do. Thank the Lord for this evangelist that came our way. God is using him. You tell your friends about it, will you? There's a light. There's fire right now being lit at go time. Have them come out and share with us. I'm telling you, folks, time's running out. Time's running out. Thank you for coming, and thank you for these folks that come shared with us. Every time I hear them, my wife will tell you I'm bad about names. And I told Pam, I said, Pam, get him. I'm glad with you, and I appreciate it. I thank the Lord.